you know this secret gives you everything you want. Happiness, health, and wealth.
You can have, do, or be anything you want.
We can have whatever it is that we choose. I don't care how big it is.
What kind of a house do you want to live in?
Do you want to be a millionaire?
What kind of a business do you want to have?
Do you want more success?
What do you really want?
I've seen many miracles take place in people's lives. Financial miracles, miracles of physical healing, mental healing, healing in relationships.
All of this happened because of knowing how to apply the secret.
This is the great secret of life.
Sitting there wondering, what is the secret? I'll tell you how I have come to understand it. We all work with one infinite power. We all guide ourselves by exactly the same laws. The natural laws of the universe are so precise that we don't even have any difficulty building spaceships, we can send people to the moon, and we can time the landing with the precision of a fraction of a second. I don't care if you're in India, if you're in Australia, New Zealand, Stockholm, or London, or Toronto, or Montreal, or New York. We're all working with one power, one law. It's attraction. The secret is the law of attraction. Everything that's coming into your life, you are attracting into your life. And it's attracted to you by virtue of the images you're holding in your mind. It's what you're thinking. You see, whatever is going on in your mind, you're attracting to you. Now, wise people have always known that. You can go right back to the ancient Babylonians. They've always known this. It's a small, select group of people. Why do you think that 1% of the population earns around 96% of all the money that's being earned? Do you think that's an accident? It's no accident. It's designed that way. They understand something. They understand the secret. And you are being introduced to the secret.
The simplest way for me to look at the law of attraction is, if I think of myself as a magnet, and I know that a magnet will attract to it.
Very basically put, the law of attraction says that like attracts like. But we're really talking at a level of thought.
Our job as humans is to hold on to the thoughts of what we want, make it absolutely clear in our minds what we want, and from that we start to invoke one of the greatest laws in the universe, and that's the law of attraction. You become what you think about most, but you also attract what you think about most.
If you see it in here, you're going to hold it here.
And that principle can be summed up in three simple words. Thoughts become things.
What most people don't understand is a thought has a frequency. Every thought has a frequency. We can measure a thought. And so if you're thinking that thought over and over and over again, or if you're imagining in your mind, okay, having that brand new car, having the money that you need, building that company, finding your soulmate, if you imagine what that looks like, you're emitting that frequency on a consistent basis.
Thoughts are sending out that magnetic signal that is drawing the parallel back to you.
See yourself living in abundance, and you will attract it. It always works. It works every time with every person.
Here's the problem. Most people are thinking about what they don't want, and they're wondering why it shows up over and over and over again.
The law of attraction doesn't care whether you perceive something to be good or bad, or whether you don't want it, or whether you do want it. It's responding to your thoughts. So if you're sitting there looking at a mountain of debt, feeling terrible about it, that's the signal you're putting out into the universe. Wow, I feel really bad because of all this debt I've got. You're just affirming it to yourself. You feel it on every level of your being. That's what you're going to get more of.
So when you're looking at that thing you want and you're saying yes to it, you're activating a thought. And the law of attraction is responding to that thought and bringing you things that match that. But when you are looking at something that you do not want and you shout no at it, you are actually not pushing it away. Instead, you are activating the very thought of what you do not want, and now law of attraction is lining those things up for you also. This is a universe that is based upon attraction. Everything is about attraction.
The law of attraction is always working, whether you believe it or understand it or not. It's always working.
You might be thinking about the past or the present or the future, but whether you're remembering or observing or imagining, still in that process you are activating thought. And law of attraction, which is the most powerful law in the universe, is responding to your thought.
Creation is always happening. Every time an individual has a thought or a prolonged, chronic way of thinking, they're in the creation process. Something is going to manifest out of those thoughts.
Law of attraction says, we'll give you whatever it is you say and focus on. And so if you're complaining about how bad it is, what you're creating is more of how bad it is.
Oh, look, I caught that. Here.
I had a student named Robert. Robert was a gay man, and he was taking an online course I have, part of which entails email access to me. And he outlined all of the grim realities of his life. In his job, all the people ganged up on him. And it was constantly stressful because of how nasty they were with him. When he walked down the street, he said every block he was accosted by homophobic people who wanted to abuse him in some way. He was wanting to become a stand-up comedian. And when he went out and did a stand-up comedy job, everybody heckled him about being gay. And his whole life was one of a lot of unhappiness and misery, and it all focused around this idea of being attacked because he was gay. I began to teach him that he was focusing on what he did not want. I directed him back to his email that he sent me and said, read it again. Look at all the things you do not want that you're telling me about. And I can tell you're very passionate about this. When you focus on something with a lot of passion, it makes it happen even faster. And then he really started taking this thing about focusing on what you want to heart. And he began really trying. What happened within the next 6 to 8 weeks was absolutely a miracle. He said that all the people in his office that had been harassing him either transferred to another department, quit working at the company, or started totally leaving him alone, and he began to love his job. He noticed that when he was walking down the street that nobody came up to him and harassed him anymore. They just weren't there.
I'm a very, very gay man.
When he went and did his stand-up comedy routines, he started getting standing ovations and nobody was heckling him. His whole life changed because he changed from focusing on what he did not want, what he was afraid of, what he wanted to avoid, to focusing on what he did want.
So we may be very positive in our outlook and orientation, and we tend to attract positive people and positive events and circumstances. We may be very negative in our orientation or very angry, in which case we tend to attract negative angry people and negative angry circumstances.
And so you end up attracting to you the predominant thoughts that you're holding in your awareness, whether those thoughts are conscious or whether they're unconscious. That's the rub.
If you look very carefully when it comes to the secret and the power of our mind and the power of our intention in our daily lives, it's all around us. All we got to do is open our eyes and look.
You see law of attraction evidenced in your society when you see that the one who speaks most of illness has it. When you see that the one who speaks most of prosperity has it. Law of attraction is evident everywhere around you, if you are understanding what it is. It has to do with you being a magnet, attracting thought, attracting people, attracting events, attracting lifestyle. Indeed, everything that you bring into your experience, you bring because of this powerful law of attraction.
I mean, I'm not talking to you from the point of view of just wishful thinking or imaginary craziness. I'm talking to you from a deeper, basic understanding. Quantum physics really begins to point to this discovery. It says that you can't have a universe without mind entering into it. That the mind is actually shaping the very thing that is being perceived.
Now, if you don't understand it, doesn't mean you should reject it. You don't understand electricity, probably. First of all, no one even knows what electricity is, and yet you enjoy the benefits of it. You know how it works. I don't know how it works, but I do know this, that you can cook a man's dinner with electricity, and you can also cook the man.
People oftentimes, when they begin to understand the great secret, become frightened of all of these negative thoughts that they have. Two things they need to be aware of. One, it has been proven now scientifically that an affirmative thought is hundreds of times more powerful than a negative thought. So that eliminates a degree of worry right there.
You live in a reality where there is this buffer of time. And truly that serves you. You're really not wanting to be in an environment where your thoughts manifest immediately. The evidence is long in coming, and that is really a good thing.
So you want to become aware of your thoughts, you want to choose your thoughts carefully, and you want to have fun with this, because you are the masterpiece of your own life. You are the Michelangelo of your own life. The David that you are sculpting is you, and you do it with your thoughts.
The leaders in the past who had the secret wanted to keep the power and not share the power. So they kept people ignorant of the secret. People went to work, they did their job, they came home. They were on a treadmill with no power because the secret was kept in the few.
We live in a universe in which there are laws. Just as there's a law of gravity, if you fall off a building, it doesn't matter whether you're a good person or a bad person, you can hit the ground.
Everything that's around you right now in your life, including the things you're complaining about, you've attracted. Now, I know at first blush, that's going to be something that you hate to hear. You know, you're going to immediately say, I didn't attract the car accident. I didn't attract this particular client. I didn't particularly attract the debt. I didn't attract whatever it happens to be that you're complaining about. And I'm here to be a little bit in your face and to say, yes, you did attract it. And this is one of the hardest concepts to get. But once you've accepted it, it's life transforming. This is part of the overall giant secret here.
And most of us attract by default. We just think that we don't have any control over it. Our thoughts are on autopilot. Our feelings are on autopilot. And so everything is just brought to us by default.
Now, if this is your first time to hear this, it may feel like, oh, I have to now monitor my thoughts. This is going to be a lot of work. It will seem like that at first, but that's where the fun begins.
We do not encourage that you try to monitor your thoughts. That will sort of make you crazy. There are so many thoughts coming to you from so many different directions about so many different subjects. That's where your emotional guidance system comes in. Your emotions, your emotional guidance system is what helps you to understand what you're thinking.
So your thoughts cause your feelings.
The emotions are this incredible gift that we have to let us know what we're attracting.
There are only two emotions from our perspective. One feels good and one feels bad. You call them all sorts of different things, but essentially, all of those negative emotions, whether you call it guilt or anger or frustration, all feel much the same. They do not feel good. And all of those are guidance saying that which you are thinking about right now is not in line with what you are really wanting.
Another level, it's called bad frequency or bad vibes or whatever you want to call it.
The one that feels good, that feeling of hope or happiness or love, that good feeling, that positive emotion, is guidance saying that which you are thinking right now is in alignment with what you are wanting.
So it's really so simple. It's right there. The answer is, what am I attracting right now? Well, how do you feel? I feel good. Well, good. Keep doing that.
Our feelings are a feedback mechanism to us about whether we're on track or not, whether we're on course or off course.
The better you feel, the more in alignment you are. The worse you feel, the more out of alignment you are. What you are doing as you are moving through the variety of your day-to-day experience is you are offering thoughts that are literally formulating your future experience. And you can tell by the way you feel if the things that you are moving toward will please you when you get there. Whatever it is you're feeling is a perfect reflection of what is in the process of becoming.
And you're getting exactly what you're feeling about, not so much what you're thinking about. That's why people, if they stub their toe out of bed, they tend to spiral. The whole day goes like that, you know. They have no clue that a simple shifting of their emotions can change their entire day and life. If you start out having a good day and you're in that particular happy feeling, as long as you don't allow something to change your mood, you're going to continue to attract, by the law of attraction, more situations, circumstances, people that sustain that happy feeling. Good days, bad days, rich get richer, poor get poorer. It's all about what these people are predominantly and continually feeling.
You can begin right now to feel healthy. You can begin to feel prosperous. You can begin to feel the love that's surrounding you, even if it's not there. And what will happen is the universe will correspond to the nature of your song. The universe will correspond to the nature of that inner feeling and manifest because that's the way you feel.
So basically what you focus on with thought and feeling is what you attract into your experience, whether or not it's something you want.
What you think and what you feel and what manifests is always a match, every single time, no exception.
It's hard to swallow. But when we can begin to open ourselves up to that, ramifications are awesome. It means that whatever thought has done in your life, it can be undone through a shift in your awareness.
It's really important that you feel good, because this feeling good is what goes out as a signal into the universe and starts to attract more of itself to you. So the more you can feel good, the more you will attract the things that help you feel good and are to keep bringing you up higher and higher.
When you're feeling down, do you know that you can change it like that? Put on a beautiful piece of music. Start singing. That'll change your emotion. Or think of something beautiful. Think of a baby. Maybe one you love. And dwell on it. Really keep that thought in your mind. Block everything out but that thought. I guarantee you'll start to feel good.
This principle applies to your family pet, for instance, which I believe are wonderful because they put you in a great emotional state. When you feel love for your pet, that's a great state of love that's going to bring goodness into your life. What a gift that is.
And when you begin to get the hang of this, when you begin to guide your thoughts based upon the way they feel, and you begin to notice the correlation between what you're feeling and thinking and what's coming back to you, before you know it, you will know that you are the creator of your own reality. And those who are watching from a distance will stand in amazement at the perfect life you live.
Since I learned the secret and started applying it to my life has truly become magical. I think the kind of life that everybody dreams of, and I live on a day-to-day basis. I live in a $4.5 million mansion. I have a wife to die for. I get to vacation in all the fabulous spots of the world. I've climbed mountains. I've explored. I've been on safari. And all of this happened and continues to happen because of knowing how to apply the secret.
Life can be absolutely phenomenal, and it should be, and it will be, when you start using the secret.
The aspiration of your own.
a lot of people ask me what their job is in the creative process and what the job of the universe is. So let's look at that for a moment.
Let's use this metaphor. If you think about Aladdin and his lamp, you've probably heard of that one. I mean, Aladdin picks up the lamp, he dusts it off, and out pops the genie. Genie always says one thing.
Your wish is my command.
If you trace the story back to its origins, you know, we now think that there's three wishes, but if you trace the story back to its origins, there's absolutely no limit whatsoever to the wishes. Think about that one. Now, let's take this metaphor and blow it out and apply it to you and your life. Remember, Aladdin is the one who always asks for what he wants. Then you've got the universe at large, which is this grand genie, and traditions, you know, have called it so many different things. Your holy guardian angel, your higher self. I mean, we could put any label on it, and you choose the one that works best for you. But every tradition has told us there's something bigger than us. And the genie always says one thing.
Your wish is my command.
So we like to say to you that the creative process is a three-step process. Step one is, you must ask for what you want. You do not need to use words to ask. In fact, the universe is not even hearing words from you. The universe is responding completely to your thoughts.
What do you really want? Sit down and write it out on a piece of paper. Write it in the present tense. You might begin by writing, I am so happy and grateful now that... And then explain how you want your life to be in every area.
And this is really fun. This is like having the universe as your catalog, and you flip through it and you go, well, I'd like to have this experience, and I'd like to have that product, and I'd like to have a person like that. It is you just placing your order with the universe. It's really that easy.
The second step is answer, an answer to what you're asking. And that is not your work in your physical form. The universe will do that step for you. All of the universal forces are responding to the thoughts that you have set into motion.
Your wish is my command.
And the universe will start to rearrange itself to make it happen for you.
Most of us have never allowed ourselves to want what we truly want because we can't see how it's going to manifest.
If you do just a little research, it is going to become evident to you that anyone that ever accomplished anything did not know how they were going to do it. They only knew they were going to do it.
You don't need to know how it's going to come about. You don't need to know how the universe will rearrange itself.
You don't know how. It'll be shown to you. You will attract the way.
So then our friends say, something must be going terribly wrong. Because I know I am asking, so where's my stuff? And we say, you are asking. You are completing step one. You can't help but do that. The universe is answering every time, no exception. But there is another step that you must understand, and it is called step three, which is the receiving step, which means you must bring yourself into alignment with what you're asking for. When you're in alignment with what you want, you feel wonderful. That's what enthusiasm is. That's what joy is. That's what appreciation is. That's what that feeling of passion is. But when you are feeling despair or fear or anger, those are strong indicators that you are not right now in alignment with what you're asking for. And so when you begin to realize that the way you feel is everything, and you begin to direct your thoughts based upon how they feel, little by little, you can find the feeling place of it, and now you are one with it, and now it must manifest into your experience.
And when you turn that fantasy into a fact, you're in the position to build bigger and better fantasies. And that, my friend, is the creative process.
So the law of attraction, the study and practice of the law of attraction is just figuring out What will help you generate the feelings of having it now? Go test drive that car. Go shop for that home. Get in the house. Do whatever you have to do to generate the feelings of having it now and remember them. Whatever you can do that will help you to literally attract it. It could be you wake up and it's just there, it's manifest. Or you might get some inspired idea of some action to take. You certainly shouldn't be going, well, I could do it this way, but man, I would hate that, because you're not on the right track if that's the case. Action will sometimes be required, but if you're really doing it in line with what the universe is trying to deliver, it's going to feel joyous, you're going to feel so alive, time will just stop, you could do it all day.
The universe likes speed. Don't delay, don't second guess, don't doubt. When the opportunity's there, when the impulse is there, when the intuitive nudge from within is there, act. That's your job. And that's all you have to do.
You will attract everything that you require. If it's money you need, you'll attract it. If it's people you need, you'll attract it. If it's a certain book you need, you'll attract it. You've got to pay attention to what you're attracted to. Because as you hold images of what you want, you're going to be attracted to things and they're going to be attracted to you. But it literally moves into physical reality with and through you. And it does that by law.
You can start with nothing. And out of nothing, and out of no way, a way will be made.
Think of this. A car driving through the night, the headlights only go 100 to 200 feet forward. And you can make it all the way from California to New York driving through the dark, because all you have to see is the next 200 feet. And that's how life tends to unfold before us. And if we just trust that the next 200 feet will unfold after that, the next 200 feet will unfold after that, your life will keep unfolding, and it will eventually get you to the destination of whatever it is you truly want, because you want it.
Just take the first step.
Well, another thing people wonder about is, how long is this going to take? How long will it take to manifest the car, the relationship, the money, whatever it happens to be? Well, I don't have any rule book that says it's going to take you 30 minutes or 3 days or 30 days. I think it's more a matter of you being in alignment with the universe itself.
Size is nothing to the universe. It is no more difficult to attract on a scientific level something that we consider huge to something that we consider infinitesimally small. The universe does everything it does with zero effort. Grass doesn't strain to grow. It's effortless. It's just this great design. It's all about what's going on up here. It's about what we put in place, saying this is big, it's going to take some time, this is small, oh, I'll give it an hour. You know, those are our rules that we define. There are no rules according to the universe. You provide the feelings of having it now, it will respond. Some people have an easier time with little things, and so we sometimes say, well, start with something small, like a cup of coffee. Make it your intention to attract a cup of coffee today.
Hold an image of talking to an old friend that you haven't seen for a long time. Somehow or another, somebody's going to start talking to you about that person. That person's going to phone you, or you'll get a letter from them.
People are amazed how that I line up car parks. And I've done this right from when I first understood The Secret. And I would visualize a car space exactly where I want it, and 95% of the time it would be there for me, and I'd just pull straight in. 5% of the time I'd have to wait just a minute or two, and the person would pull out, and I'd pull in.
All the time.
A lot of people feel stuck or in prison or confined by their current circumstances. And I'm trying to point out that whatever your circumstance is right now, that is only your current reality. And current reality will begin to change as a result of watching this and beginning to use The Secret.
But sometimes it feels like you're stuck because you continue to think the same thoughts over and over again. And so you tend to get the same results over and over again. And the reason is because most people offer the majority of their thought in response to what they are observing. You see, if you're just looking at what is, then you're just thinking about what is. And when you think about what is, law of attraction gives you more of it. And then if you just observe what is, then you're just thinking about what is. And law of attraction gives you more of what is. And then if you just observe, well, we've been over this, haven't we? You have to find a way that you are approaching what is through a different vantage point.
Most people look at their current state of affairs and they say, this is who I am. That's not who you are. That's who you were. You see, if you look at your current state of affairs right now, let's say, for instance, that you don't have a lot of money in your bank account, or you don't have the relationship that you want, or your health and fitness isn't up to par. That's not who you are. That's the residual outcome of your past thoughts and actions. So we're constantly living in this residual, if you will, of the thoughts and the actions we've taken in the past. When you look at your current state of affairs and define yourself by that, then you doom yourself to have nothing more than the same in the future.
Is the result we have evolved.
Okay, what can you do right now to begin to turn your life around? I'll tell you two or three things. Start making a list of things to be grateful for. Start with that, because this shifts your energy. It starts to shift your thinking. Where before this exercise, you might be focusing on what you don't have, and you might be focusing on your complaints, and you might be focusing on whatever the problems are. When you do this exercise, you start to go in a different direction. You start to be grateful for all the things that you feel good about.
Gratitude is absolutely the way to bring more into your life.
Every man knows that when his wife's appreciating him for the little things he does, what does he want to do? He wants to do more. It's always about appreciation. It pulls things in. It attracts support.
I've said for many years that whatever we think about and thank about, we bring about.
Because that's that feeling that you have to have, you know. And so for me, it's been such a powerful exercise every morning to get up and say thank you. Every morning when I feed it before, thank you. And then I start running through what I'm grateful for as I'm going to brush my teeth and do the things I do in the morning. And I'm not just thinking about them and doing some rote routine, but I'm putting it out there and I'm feeling the feelings of gratitude.
Because as soon as you start to feel differently about what you already have, you will start to attract more of the good things, more of the things you can be grateful for. Because you can look around and say, well, look, I don't have the car I want. I don't have the house I want. I don't have the health I want. I don't have the spouse I want. Well, back up, back up. Those are all the things you don't want. Focus on what you already have that you're grateful for. And it might be you have the eyes to watch this. It might be the clothes that you have. Yes, you might prefer something else, and you might get something else pretty soon if you start feeling grateful for what you have.
I think everybody goes through times when they say, oh, man, things aren't working right, or things are going bad, and there were some things going on in my family, and I found a rock. I was just sitting here holding this rock. You might see me carrying around. I found a rock. I stuck it in my pocket, and I said, you know what? Every time I touch this rock, I'm going to think of something that I'm grateful for. And so every morning when I get up in the morning, I pick it up off the dresser, I put it in my pocket, and I go through the things that I'm grateful for. At night, what do? You empty your pocket, and there it is again. And I've had some different experiences with that. I've had some amazing experiences. I had a guy from South Africa, and he saw me drop it. He said, what is that?
Well, what's that?
I explained it to him, so he started calling it a gratitude rock.
Gratitude rock.
2 weeks later, I got an email from him from South Africa. And he said, my son is dying from a rare disease. It's a type of hepatitis. He said, would you send me 3 gratitude rocks? Now, they're just rocks I found off the street, you know? So I said, sure. I had to make sure that the rocks were very special. And so I went out to the stream, looked, picked out the right rocks, and sent them off to him. 4 or 5 months later, I get an email from him that my son's better. He's doing terrific. And he said, but you need to know something. He says, we've sold over 1,000 rocks at $10 a piece as gratitude rocks, and we've raised all this money for charity. Thank you very much. And so it's very important to be in an attitude of gratitude, as I call it.
Another thing that I would suggest that you do right now to turn your life around, and this is so huge that I can't find the words to describe just how powerful this can be for you.
I took the visualization process from the Apollo program and instituted it during the 1980s and 90s into the Olympic program. And it was called visual motor rehearsal. When you visualize, then you materialize. And the interesting thing about the mind is we took Olympic athletes and then hooked them up to sophisticated biofeedback equipment and had them run their event only in their mind. Incredibly, the same muscles fired in the same sequence when they were running the race in their mind as when they were running it on the track. How could this be? Because the mind can't distinguish whether you're really doing it or whether it's just a practice. I think if you've been there in the mind, you'll go there in the body.
When you're visualizing, when you've got that picture playing out in your mind, always and only dwell upon the end result. Here's an example. Look at the back of your hands right now. Really, look at the back of your hands. The color of your skin, the freckles, the blood vessels, the rings, the fingernails, the fake fingernails. Take in all those details right before you close your eyes. And then see those hands, your fingers, wrapping around the steering wheel of your brand new car.
This is such a holographic experience, so real in this moment, that you don't even feel like you need the car because it feels like you already have it.
It's the feeling that really creates the attraction, not just the picture or the thought. And I think for a lot of people, they think, well, if I think positive thoughts or if I visualize having what I want, that'll be enough. But if you're doing that and still not feeling abundant or feeling, you know, loving and joyful, then it doesn't, from my mind, really create the power of the attraction.
This is where the secret actually moves into action.
You put yourself in a feeling place of really being in that car, not, oh, I wish I could get that car, or someday I'll have that car, because that's a very definite feeling associated with that. It's not in the now, it's not, you know, it's in the future. If you stay in that feeling, it will always be in the future.
Feel the joy, feel the happiness, no matter how silly it seems in that dark and quiet room, and you're going, woohoo, do it. A lot of people will say, you know, come on, do I have to do that? How bad do you want change?
Now that feeling and that inner seeing will begin to be an open doorway through which the power of the universe will begin to express.
I cannot say is that it exists.
Our job is not to figure out the how. The how will show up out of the commitment and the belief in the what.
The hows are the domain of the universe. It always knows the shortest, quickest, fastest, most harmonious way between you and your dream.
If you turn it over to the universe, you will be surprised and dazzled by what is delivered to you. This is where magic and miracles happen. Well, I would say you want to do this virtually daily, but my disclaimer is this should never be a chore. What's really bottom line importance here to the whole secret is feeling good. You want to feel exhilarated by this whole process. You want to be high, happy, in tune as much as possible.
The only difference between people who really are living this way and people who aren't, living in the magic of life, is that the people who are living in the magic of life have habituated ways of being. They have habituated this process, and magic happens with them wherever they go, because they remember it and they do it all the time, not as a one-time event.
People hold that for a while and they're really a champion at it. And they say, you know what, I'm fired up, I saw this program and I'm going to change my life. And yet, you know, results aren't showing. And beneath the surface, it's just about ready to break through. And someone will look at the surface results and go, this stuff doesn't work. And you know what, the universe says, your wish is my command. And it goes down.
You know, knowing the law of attraction, I wanted to really put it to use and to see if it was, you know, what would happen. And in 1995, I started to create something called a vision board, where I take something that I would want to achieve or something that I want to attract, like a car or a watch or the soulmate of my dreams, and I'd put a picture of what I wanted up on this board called the vision board. And every day I would sit in my office and I would look up at this board and I would start to visualize, I would really get into the state of having already acquired it. I was getting ready to move as we put all the furniture, all the boxes into storage, and I made three different moves over a period of 5 years. And then I ended up in California and bought this house, renovated it for a year, and then had all the stuff brought from my former home 5 years earlier. One morning, about 7:30 in the morning, my son comes into my office, and one of the boxes that was sealed for 5 years was right at the doorstep. And my son, Keenan, was sitting on the box, banging away at the box. And I said, "Sweetheart, will you please stop me? I'm doing some work here." And he says,
"What's in the boxes, Daddy?"
And I said, "Well, honey, those are my vision boards."
"What's a vision board?"
I said, "Well, it's where I put all my goals up. I cut them out and I put all my goals up for something that I want to achieve in my life." And, of course, at 5.5 years old, he didn't understand it. So I said, "Sweetie, let me just show you, because that'll be the easiest way to do it." And so I cut the box open. And when I pulled up the vision boards, there was a picture on there of a home that I was visualizing 5 years earlier. And what was shocking to me was we were living in that house, not a house like it. I bought my dream home, renovated it, and didn't even know it. But I looked at that house, I started to cry because I was just blown away.
"Why are you crying?"
"Honey, I finally understand how the law of attraction works. I finally understand the power of visualization. I finally understand everything that I've read, everything that I've worked with my whole life, and the way I've built companies. It worked for my home as well. And I bought our dream home and didn't even know it."
Decide what you want. Believe you can have it. Believe you deserve it. Believe it's possible for you. And then close your eyes every day for several minutes and visualize having what you already want and feeling the feelings of already having it. Come out of that and focus on what you're grateful for already. And really enjoy it. Okay? And then go into your day and release it to the universe and trust that the universe will figure out how to manifest it. The Secret was definitely a real transformation for me because I grew up in a family where my dad was very negative, thought that rich people were people that had ripped everyone off, thought that anyone who had money, you know, must have deceived somebody. And so I grew up with a lot of beliefs about money, that if you had it, it made you bad. Only evil people have money. And, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. That was a big one. "Who do you think I am, Rockefeller?" That was one of his favorite phrases. So I grew up truly believing that life was difficult, that it was hard, you had to struggle. And it was only when I met W. Clement Stone that I literally began to shift my life. When I was working with Stone, he said, "I want you to set a goal that's so big that if you achieved it, it would blow your mind. And you would know it's only because of what I've taught you that you would have achieved this goal." Well, at the time, I was making about $8,000 a year. And for some reason, I wanted something that was really measurable. So I said, "I want to make $100,000 in a year." Now, I had no idea how I could do that. I saw no strategy, no possibility. But I just said, "I'm going to declare that. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to act as if it's true and release it." And so I did that. And one of the things he taught me was every day to close your eyes and visualize the goal as if it's already achieved. And I had actually made a $100,000 bill that I put on the ceiling. So the first thing I'd see when I woke up, I'd look up and there it was. It would remind me that this was my intention. And then I would close my eyes and visualize having this $100,000 in your lifestyle. And interestingly enough, nothing major happened for about 30 days. You know, I didn't have any great breakthrough ideas. No one was offering me more money. And all of a sudden, I was in the shower, it was about 4 weeks into it, and I had a $100,000 idea. It just came right into my head. I had a book I had written, and I said, if I could sell 400,000 copies of my book at a quarter each, that would be $100,000. Now, the book was there, but I never had this thought. And one of the secrets, I think, is that when you have inspired thought, you have to trust it, and you have to act on it. Now, I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how I was going to sell 400,000 copies. We'd never done that. And then I saw the National Enquirer at the supermarket. I had seen that millions of times, and it was just background. And all of a sudden, it jumped out of me as foreground, and I thought, wow, if readers knew about my book, certainly 400,000 people would go out and buy it. And about 6 weeks later, I gave a talk at Hunter College in New York to 600 teachers, and this lady comes up at the end, and she says,
that was a great talk. I'd like to interview you. Let me give you my card.
And I said, who do you write for?
I'm a freelancer, but I sell most of my stuff to the National Enquirer.
You know, and I had this little theme from the Twilight Zone went off in my head. Nah, 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 nah. Like, whoa, this stuff's really working. So that article came out, and our book sales started to take off. But the point I want to make is that I was attracting into my life all these different events, including this person. And to make a long story short, I did not make $100,000 that year. We made $92,327. But you think we were like depressed and going, this doesn't work? No, we were going, whoa, this is amazing. And so my wife said to me, wow, if it works for $100,000, you think it would work for $1 million? And I said, I don't know. I think so. Let's try it. My publisher actually wrote me a check as a royalty check for our first Chicken Soup for the Soul book. And he actually put a smiley face in his signature because it was the first $1 million check he'd ever written. And so I know from my own experience, because I wanted to test it, does this secret really work? And when we put it to the test, it absolutely worked. And now I live my life from that every single day.
Well, I can just imagine what a lot of people that are watching this are thinking. And that is, how can I attract more money into my life? How can I get more of the green stuff? How can I get more wealth and prosperity? How can I, when I love my job, deal with the credit card debt that I have? And the realization that maybe there's a ceiling on the money that can come in because it's coming to me through my job. How can I bring in more? Intended. This goes back to one of the things we've been talking about throughout the whole secret. Your job is to declare what you would like to have from the catalog of the universe. Well, if cash is one of them, say how much you would like to have. I would like to have $25,000 unexpected income within the next 30 days. Or whatever it happens to be. It should be believable for you.
Most people have a goal of getting out of debt. That'll keep you in debt forever. Whatever you're thinking about, you will attract. You'll say, but it's get out of debt. I don't care if it's get out or get in. If you're thinking debt, you're attracting debt. Set up an automatic debt repayment program and then start to focus on prosperity.
So many times people say to me, well, I'd like to double my income in the next year. But then you look at their actions and they're not doing the things that are going to make that happen. And, you know, they'll turn right around and go, well, I can't afford that. Okay, guess what? Your wish is my command.
As you are fussing about not having enough money, as you are talking to your friend about not having enough money, as you are feeling unhappy about not having enough money, you're actually activating within yourself or continuing the activation of a thought that is very different from the desire that you have launched. What it just comes down to is you just can't want more money and focus upon not enough.
When I first understood the secret, I was getting bills. Every day I'd get a bunch of bills in the mail. And I thought, how do I turn this around? The law of attraction states that what you focus on, you will get. So I got a bank statement. I whited out the total and I put a new total in there. I put exactly how much I wanted to see in the bank. So that what if I just visualize checks coming in the mail? So I just visualize a bunch of checks coming in the mail. Within just 1 month, things started to change. And it is amazing. Today, I just get checks in the mail. I get a few bills, but I get more checks than bills.
I grew up on you have to work hard for money, you have to work hard for money. And so I replaced that with money comes easily and frequently. Now, in the beginning, it feels like a lie, right? There was a part of your brain that will say, oh, you liar, it's hard. So you have to know it's this little tennis match that will go on for a while.
When it comes to creating wealth, wealth is a mindset. It's all about how you think.
I'd say 80% of my coaching that I do one-on-one with folks is about their psychology and the way they think. And I know when people are listening, they say, oh, well, you can do it, I can't. Every person has the capability to change the way they're in a relationship and conversation with money.
I find so many people who maybe make a tremendous amount of money, but their relationships stink. That's a technical term, by the way. And that's not wealth. It really isn't. You know, you can go after the money and you might get rich, but it doesn't guarantee you'll be wealthy. I'm not suggesting that money isn't a part of wealth. It absolutely is. But it's only a part. And then I meet a lot of people who are quote-unquote spiritual, but they're sick and broke all the time. That's not wealth either. Life is meant to be abundant in all areas.
Many people in Western culture are striving for success. They want to have the home, they want their business to work, they want all of these things. But what I found in my research is that having those things certainly doesn't guarantee what we really want, which is happiness. And that's when all those outer things come. They don't come from going after them first to get happiness. It's backwards. You go for the sense of inner joy, of inner peace, of inner vision first, and then all the other things from the outside appear.
The secret means for me actually that we are creators of our universe, and that every wish of what we want to create will manifest in our life. Therefore, it's very important what you wish, what your thoughts are, what your feelings are, because it will manifest. Now, one day I went into somebody's home, and he was an art director of a very famous film producer. And in every corner, he had this beautiful image of a woman, a naked woman dressed with a fabric, kind of doing this, kind of saying, "Oh, I don't look at you, I don't see you," you know. And I said, "I think you have trouble in your romance.
Are you a clairvoyant or something?"
"No, but look, 7 places you have exactly that woman."
"But I love that kind of painting. I painted it myself."
"That's even worse," I said, "because you put all your creation and your creativity in it. Now, he's this gorgeous looking man. He has all these actresses around him because that's the work he does. He doesn't get romance." I said, "What's who you want?"
"Well, I want to date 3 women a week."
"Okay, paint yourself with 3 women and hang it in every corner." "6 months later, I see him in Europe and said, 'How is your love life?'"
"Great. They just call me. They all want to date me."
"Because that's your wish."
"Now I have like 3 dates a week. They're fighting over me."
"Good on you."
"But I really want to stabilize a little bit. I want marriage and I want romance."
"Well, paint it, okay?" So he painted a beautiful romantic relationship. And a year later, he got married and is very happy. Because he put another wish out. But he wished it in himself for years, but it did not happen. Because his wish could not manifest because the outer level of himself, his house, was just contradicting himself all the time. So if you know this knowledge, you should start playing with it.
Inside relationships, it's important to first understand who's coming into the relationship. And I don't mean about your partner. I mean about you.
How can you ever expect anyone else to enjoy your company if you don't enjoy your own company? And so, again, the law of attraction or the secret is about bringing that into your life, and you've got to get really, really clear. Here's a question I would ask you to consider. Do you treat yourself the way that you want other people to treat you?
You become the solution for you. Don't like, "Now you owe me and you need to give me more." Instead, give more to yourself. Take time off to give to yourself, in a sense, to fill yourself up to fullness, to where now you can overflow in giving.
I got into many relationships expecting my partner to show me my beauty. I needed to see him showing me my beauty because I didn't feel beautiful. Because when I was growing up, my heroes were Charlie's Angels, the Bionic Woman, Wonder Woman. And though they were wonderful women, none of them looked like me. It wasn't until I stopped and I fell in love with Lisa, full lips, round hips, mocha skin, afro, that the rest of the world began to fall in love with Lisa.
There's something so magnificent about you. I have been studying me for 44 years. I want to kiss myself. Because you're going to get to love yourself. I'm not talking about conceit. I'm talking about a healthy respect for yourself. And as you love yourself, you'll love others.
Sometimes people will say, those people at work are so negative, or the man I live with is so angry, or my children are so worrisome to me. And we say, you must orient yourself to the best part of those people who surround you. We encourage that you get a notebook and that you make a list of the positive aspects of the people that you spend a lot of time with. There could be someone that you have a terrible experience with, a terrible relationship with. And in the privacy of your own mind, and with quite a bit of work, we will admit, as you focus upon things that you like most, those people will become that mostly to you. And even though you cannot create in their reality, if they are in a mood or an attitude that doesn't match the mood or attitude that you have about them, they'll zig while you zag. Law of attraction will not put you in the same space together. Your frequencies don't match up. If you knew your potential to feel good, you would ask no one to be different so that you can feel good. You would free yourself of all of that cumbersome impossibility of needing to control the world or control your mate or control your child. You are the only one who creates your reality. For no one else can think for you. No one else can do it. It is only you. Every bit of it you.
It's important to recognize that our body is really the product of our thoughts. We're beginning to understand in medical science the degree to which the nature of thoughts and emotions actually determines the physical substance and structure and function of our bodies.
We've known in the healing arts of a placebo effect. A placebo is something that supposedly has no impact and no effect on the body, like a sugar pill or something. You tell the patient that this is just as effective. And what happens is the placebo has the same effect, if not greater effect, than sometimes the medication is supposed to be designed for that effect. So they found out that the human mind is the biggest factor in the healing arts, more so than sometimes the medication. If somebody is in a situation where they're sick and they have an alternative to try to explore what is in their mind creating it versus using medicine, if it's an acute situation that could really bring death to them, then obviously the medicine is a wise thing to do while they explore what the mind is about. So you don't want to negate medicine. Every form of healing has a place.
There is only a stream of well-being that flows, you know. It is a stream of pure positive energy. And the universe, all that we know, is abundant with only that. This is a world that is based upon well-being, and well-being dramatically abounds. And when you are allowing that stream to flow in its fullness, you feel very, very good. And when you are pinching it off a bit, you feel not so good. There is only a stream of goodness or well-being which you are allowing or not. And your magnificent emotions are telling you what the mix is, how you're doing in your allowing or your resisting of this connection.
You know people who have had terminal disease. Stop and think of the word dis-ease. Hyphenate the word. That's a body that's not at ease.
We've got 1,000 different diagnoses and disease out there. They're just the weak link. They're all the result of one thing, stress. And you put enough stress on the chain, you put enough stress on the system, and one of the links breaks.
Our physiology creates disease to give us feedback, to let us know we have an imbalanced perspective and we're not loving and we're not grateful. So the body's signs and symptoms are not something terrible.
The question that's frequently asked is when a person has manifested a disease in their body temple or some kind of discomfort in their life, through the power of right thinking, can it be turned around? And the answer is absolutely yes.
On November 23rd, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I truly believed in my heart, with my strong faith, that I was already healed. During the day, all day long, I would just say, thank you for my healing. On and on and on I went, thank you for my healing. I believed in my heart I was healed. I saw myself as if cancer was never in my body. One of the things I did to heal myself was to watch very funny movies. That's all we would do is just laugh, laugh, laugh. We couldn't afford to put any stress in my life because we knew stress was one of the worst things you can do while you're trying to heal yourself. From the time I was diagnosed, which was November 23rd, to the time I was healed totally, was approximately 3 months. And that's without radiation and chemotherapy.
Well, we come with a basic program. It's called self-healing. You get a wound, it grows back together. You get a bacterial infection, the immune system comes and takes care of those bacteria and heals it up. The immune system is made to heal itself.
Disease cannot live in a body that's in a healthy emotional state. Your body is casting off millions of cells every second, and it's creating millions of new cells.
In fact, literally, parts of our body are replaced every day. Other parts take a few months, other parts a couple of years. But within a few years, we have a brand new physical body.
If you have a disease and you're focusing on it and you're talking to people about it, you're going to create more diseased cells. See yourself living in a perfectly healthy body. Let the doctor look after the disease.
Can you feel the difference between having painful arthritis in your hip and feeling fearful about it, or having painful arthritis in your hip and feeling hopeful about it? The difference between fearful and hopeful is the difference between recovery or not.
Happier thoughts lead to essentially a happier biochemistry, a happier, healthier body. Negative thoughts, stress, have been shown to seriously degrade the body and the functioning of the brain, because it's our thoughts and emotions that are continuously reassembling, reorganizing, recreating our body.
Remove physiological stress from the body, and the body does what it was designed to do. It heals itself.
I've seen kidneys regenerated. I've seen cancer dissolved. I've seen eyesight improve and come back.
I always say that incurable means curable from within.
You can change your life, and you can heal yourself.
Well, my story begins on March the 10th, 1981. It really changed my whole life. It was a day I'll never forget. I crashed an airplane. I ended up in the hospital completely paralyzed. My spinal cord was crushed. I broke the first and second cervical vertebrae. My swallowing reflex was destroyed. I couldn't eat or drink. My diaphragm was destroyed. I couldn't breathe. All I could do was blink my eyes. The doctor, of course, said all my life I'd be a vegetable. All I'd do is blink my eyes the rest of my life. That's a picture they saw of me, but it didn't matter what they thought. The main thing was what I thought. I pictured myself being a normal person again, working out of that hospital. The only thing I had to work with in the hospital was my mind. As long as you have your mind, you can put things back together again. I was hooked to a respirator, and they said I'd never breathe on my own again because my diaphragm was destroyed. But this little voice kept saying to me, breathe deep, breathe deep. Finally, I was weaned from it. They were at a loss for an explanation. See, I could not afford to allow anything to come in my mind that would distract me from my goal and from my vision. Well, I set a goal to walk out of the hospital on Christmas. That was my goal. 8 months later, I walked out of the hospital on my own 2 feet. They said it couldn't be done. That's a day I will never forget. For people that are sitting out there right now watching this program that are hurting, if I wanted to sum up my life and sum up for people what they can do in life, I would sum it up this way in 6 words. Man becomes what he thinks about.
We notice that there are so many people who are living life in a very conditional way. They look out and they see things that are wonderful and they say, yes, we want more of those. We would vote for that. We would support that with our time and energy and money. But then they look out and they see things that they do not want, terrible things that they do not want to live and that they do not want to see others live. And they say, we've got to do something about getting rid of those things. But they don't realize that as they push against the unwanted, they add power to it. In this world, there is a war against poverty and a war against cancer and a war against teenage pregnancy and a war against terrorism and a war against violence and a war against terrorism. We mentioned that there's a war against terrorism, and all of this pushing against is only adding to, because you can't say no and make it go away. When you shout no, law of attraction is lining that up.
The reason that what you resist persists is because if you're resisting something, you're saying, no, I don't want this thing because it makes me feel this way, the way I'm feeling right now. So you're just putting out this really strong emotion of, wow, I really don't like this feeling, and it's there, and it just comes racing towards you.
You know, the anti-war movement creates more war. The anti-drug movement has actually created more drugs because we're focusing on what we don't want, drugs.
People will say, well, shouldn't I focus upon that? That is true. And we say, that is like saying, because someone gave their attention to something they did not want long enough that now it is manifested, I should do it too. And we say, we don't really understand that reasoning.
Mother Teresa was brilliant. She said, I will never attend an anti-war rally. If you have a peace rally, invite me. You know, she knew. She understood the secret. I mean, look what she manifested in the world.
So if you're anti-war, be pro-peace. If you're anti-hunger, be pro people having more than enough to eat. If you're anti a particular politician, be pro his opponent. Often elections are tipped in the favor of the person that people are really against because he's getting all the energy and all the focus.
You want to focus on what you want, not what you don't want. It's okay to notice what you don't want because that gives you contrast to say, well, this is what I do want. But the fact is that the more you talk about what you don't want or talk about how bad it is, read about all of that all the time, and then say, oh, how terrible it is, well, you're creating more of that.
You know, so many times people say to me, well, James, I have to be informed. Maybe you have to be informed, but you don't have to be inundated.
Learn to become still and to take your attention away from what you don't want and all the emotional charge around it, and place the attention on what you wish to experience.
I always say, when the voice and the vision on the inside become more profound and more clear and loud than the opinions on the outside, you've mastered your life.
You are not here to try to get the world to be just as you want it to be. You are here to create the world around you that you choose, while you allow the world as others choose it to be, to exist also.
One of the questions I get almost all the time, and it's probably on somebody's mind right now if it's not on yours, and that's the idea that, well, if everybody uses the secret and they all treat the universe like a catalog, aren't we going to run out of stuff? Won't everybody just make a run for it and bust the bank?
What's beautiful about the teaching of the great secret is that there's more than enough to go around for everyone. There is a lie that acts like a virus within the mind of humanity. And that lie is, there's not enough good to go around. There's lack, and there's limitation, and there's just not enough. That lie has people living in fear, greed, stinginess, and those thoughts of fear, greed, stinginess, and lack become their experience. So the world has taken a nightmare pill. Now, the truth is, there's more than enough good to go around. There's more than enough creative ideas. There's more than enough power. There's more than enough love. There's more than enough joy. All of this begins to come through a mind that is aware of its own infinite nature.
Every great teacher who's ever walked the planet has told us that life was meant to be abundant.
And so, just when we think that resources are dwindling, we find new resources to achieve the same things.
And so, even though we say we have lack, it's because we don't open up our vision and see all of what's around us.
You know, when everybody starts to live from their heart and go for what they want, they don't go for the same things. That's the beauty of this. We don't all want BMWs. We don't all want the same person. We don't all want the same experiences. We don't all want the same clothing. We don't all want fill in the blank.
There's enough for everyone. If you believe it, if you can see it, if you act from it, it will show up for you. That's the truth.
So let the variety of your reality thrill you as you get to choose from among it those things that you're wanting. And when you see something that you want in your experience, think about it. Find the feeling place of it. Get inside of it. Talk about it and write it down. Write a script about it. Make it your reality by becoming a match to it. And when you see those things that you're not wanting in your experience, do not talk about them. Don't write about them. Don't join groups that worry about them. Don't push against them. Do your best to ignore them. Remove your attention from the things that you do not want, while you give your undivided attention to the things that you do want.
Most of the leaders in the past missed the great part of the secret, which is empowering and sharing with others. This is the best time to have ever been alive in history. It's the first time we've ever had the power to gain knowledge at our fingertips.
When we look around us, even at our own bodies, what we see is the tip of the iceberg.
Think of this for a moment. Take your hand and look at it. Now, your hand looks solid, but it's really not. If you put it under a proper microscope, you'd see a mass of energy vibrating.
Everything is made up of the exact same thing, whether it's your hand, whether it's the ocean, or whether it's a star.
Everything is energy. And let me help you understand that just a little bit. There's the universe, of course, and our galaxy, and our planet, and then individuals. And then inside of this body are organ systems, and then there's cells, and then there's molecules, and then there's atoms, and then there is energy. So there are a lot of levels to talk about something on, but everything in the universe is energy.
I don't care what city you're living in, you've got enough power in your body, potential power, to illuminate the whole city for nearly a week.
Most people define themselves by this finite body, but you're not a finite body. I mean, even under a microscope, you're an energy field. Well, what we know about energy is this. You go to a quantum physicist and you say, what creates the world? And he or she will say, energy. Well, describe energy. Okay, it can never be created or destroyed. It's all always was, always has been. Everything that ever existed always exists. It's moving into form, through form, and out of form. Okay, great. You go to a theologian and you ask the question, what created the universe? And he or she will say, God. Okay, describe God. Always was and always has been. Never can be created or destroyed. All that ever was, always will be. Always moving into form, through form, and out of form. You see, it's the same description, just different terminology. And so if you think you're this meat suit running around, think again. You're a spiritual being. You're an energy field operating in a larger energy field.
We're all connected. We just don't see it. There isn't an out there and an in here. Everything in the universe is connected. It's just one energy field.
You are extensions of source energy. And you are here in these magnificent bodies. But your bodies have distracted you, for the most part, from who you really are. You are source energy. You are eternal beings. You are God force. You are that which you call God.
Scripturally, we could say that we are the image and the likeness of God. We could say we are another way that the universe is becoming conscious of itself. We could say that we are the infinite field of unfolding possibility. all of that would be true.
Every great tradition has told you that you were created in the image and the likeness of the creative source. That means that you have God potential and power to create your world. And you are. You are. And maybe you've created things to this point that are wonderful and worthy of you, and maybe you haven't. The question I'd ask you to consider is, do the results you have in your life, are they what you really want, and are they worthy of you? If they're not worthy of you, then when would now be the right time to change those? Because you have the power to do that.
You know, a lot of people feel like they're victims in life, and they'll often point to past events, perhaps growing up with an abusive parent or in a dysfunctional family. And I would add as a parenthesis here that most psychologists believe that about 85% of families are dysfunctional. So it's like all of a sudden you're not so unique. Now, my parents were alcoholics. My dad abused me. My mother divorced him when I was six.
From the age of 13 to 18, I was involved in street gangs.
I had a severe motorcycle accident.
I was homeless at one point in Dallas. I lived in poverty for 15 years in Houston.
When I was a child, I had learning difficulties, and I was considered learning disabled, and I was told I would never read, write, or communicate, never amount to anything, not go very far in life.
I mean, that's almost everybody's story in some form or not. So that's just called so what. The real what is, what are you going to do now? What do you choose now? Because you can either keep focusing on that or you can focus on what you want. And when people start focusing on what they want, what they don't want falls away. And that part expands and the other part disappears.
We are wanting you to come to the place where you're beginning to offer your thought deliberately, where you're guiding your thoughts on purpose, where you are the creator of your own experience because you are the manager of your own thought.
The beautiful thing about the law of attraction is that you can begin where you are, and you can begin to think real thinking, and you can begin to generate within yourself a feeling tone of harmony and happiness. The law will begin to respond to that.
So now you start to have different beliefs, like there is more than enough in the universe, or you have the belief that everything goes right for me, or you have the belief that I'm not getting older, I'm getting younger. We can create it the way we want it by using the law of attraction.
And you can break yourself free from your hereditary patterns, cultural codes, social beliefs, and prove once and for all that the power within you is greater than the power that's in the world.
Some of you may be thinking, well, that's very nice, but I can't do that, or she won't let me do that, or he'll never let me do that, or I haven't got enough money to do that, or I'm not strong enough to do that, or I'm not rich enough to do that, I'm not. Every single I'm not is a creation.
Are there any limits to this? Absolutely not. We are unlimited beings. We have no ceiling. The capabilities and the talents and the gifts and the power that is within every single individual on this planet is unlimited.
There is no blackboard in the sky on which God has written your purpose, your mission in life. There's no blackboard in the sky that says, Neil Donald Walsh, a handsome guy who lived in the first part of the 21st century, who, then there's a blank, you know, and all I have to do to really understand what I'm doing here, why I'm here, is to find that blackboard and find out what God really has in mind for me. But the blackboard doesn't exist. So your purpose is what you say it is. Your mission is the mission you give yourself. Your life will be what you create it as, and no one will stand in judgment of it now or ever.
It took a lot of years for me to get this, because I grew up very much with this idea that, you know, there was something I was supposed to do, and if I wasn't doing it, I was like, God wouldn't be happy with me, you know? When I really got that my primary aim was to feel and experience joy, then I began to do only those things which brought me joy. We have a saying, you know, if it ain't fun, don't do it, you know.
Joy, love, freedom, happiness, laughter. That's what it is. And if you've just experienced joy sitting there meditating for an hour, by golly, do that. If you experience joy eating a salami sandwich, then do that.
When I pet my cat, I'm in a state of joy. When I walk in nature, I'm in a state of joy. So I want to constantly put myself in that state. And when I do that, then all I have to do is have the intention of what I want, and what I want manifest.
So inner happiness actually is the fuel of success.
Anything that makes you feel good is always going to be drawing in more. You are listening to this right now. It's you that drew this into your life. It's your choice whether you want to take it and utilize it. If it feels good, if it doesn't feel good, then you know, let it go. Find something that feels good, that resonates with your heart.
Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss. We think those are the best words we have ever heard spoken from a human tongue. And if one could follow one's bliss, you would follow the trail to abundance and well-being on all subjects.
Enjoy life with us, because life is phenomenal. It's a magnificent trip.
You will live in a different reality, a different life, and people will look at you and say, what do you do different than me? Well, the only thing that is different is that you work with a secret.
And then you can do and have and be things that people would say that's impossible for you to do and have and be.
We're really now moving into a new era. It's the era where the last frontier is not space, as Star Trek would say, but it's going to be mind.
I see a future of unbounded potential, unbounded possibilities. Remember, we're using at most 5% of the potential of the human mind. 100% human potential is the result of proper education. So imagine a world where people were using their full mental and emotional potential. We could go anywhere. We could do anything, achieve anything.
See yourself with the good that you desire. Every religious book tells us that. Every great book on philosophy, every great leader, all the avatars who have ever lived, go back and study the wise ones. Many of them have been presented to you in this program. You know what? They all understood one thing. They understood the secret. Now you understand it. And the more you use it, the more you'll understand it.
You may be feeling that it would be easier to be hearing these words if they had come to you the first day of your experience upon this earth. And if we were talking to you on your first day of physical life experience, we would say to you, welcome to planet Earth. There is nothing that you cannot be or do or have. You are a magnificent creator. And you are here by your powerful and deliberate wanting to be here. Go forth, giving thought to what you are wanting, attracting life experience to help you decide what you want. And once you have decided, giving thought only unto that. Most of your time will be spent collecting data, data that will help you decide what it is you want. But your real work is to decide what you want and then to focus upon it. For it is through focusing upon what you want that you will attract it. That is the process of creating.
I believe that you're great, that there's something magnificent about you. Regardless of what has happened to you in your life, regardless of how young or how old you think you might be, the moment you begin to think properly, there's something that is within you, this power within you that's greater than the world, it will begin to emerge. It will take over your life. It will feed you. It will clothe you. It will guide you, protect you, direct you, sustain your very existence if you let it. Now that is what I know for sure.
easy about this. Have fun with it. There is nothing you are supposed to do, only that which you want to do.